Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
If you were in church last week, whether you were on Zoom or here in the building, then you'll have heard me introduce the Church of England's vision for the 2020s, a vision that we've agreed to adopt and adapt here in our parish. The vision is that we should return to being a church that is Jesus Christ-centered and Jesus Christ-shaped. That reflects the character of Christ by being simpler, humbler, and bolder. Over the next few months, we want to explore what that vision means for us, and in particular, to ask ourselves what we might look like as a church if we were to become simpler, humbler, and bolder. So with that in mind, we're going to take a look at the parable that John's just read us from Luke 11. Last week, I had what I can only describe as a wake-up call. On the advice of several people that I respect, I watched a documentary on Netflix called Seaspiracy. A few of you are nodding. Some of you have watched it. It's a film about the human impact on the marine ecosystem. It looks at issues like plastic in the ocean and the environmental impact of the commercial fishing industry. It's not without its controversy, and I didn't agree necessarily with everything in the documentary. But by the end, I decided on the basis of what I had seen that I needed to take action, and that one of the ways in which I can choose to respond to complex environmental issues is by becoming a vegetarian, much to the horror of my meat-loving son. But I wonder if you've ever had one of those moments, an experience like that, where something acts as a wake-up call to you, where you're provoked to think differently, and then it provokes you to act differently. It's just, you suddenly see something and hear it, and you think, yeah, that's what I need to do. Well, this morning, we're looking at this parable from Luke 11, and at first sight, it sounds like the point of the parable is that we should be persistent in prayer. Basically, if we nag God enough, eventually God will give in and give us what we're asking for. Now, it is a reasonable interpretation, but when I read it, I just thought, this doesn't sit right with me for some reason. And it strikes me that this parable about a man waking his neighbor in the middle of the night is actually about prayer being a wake-up call. So I want to suggest this morning that prayer wakes us up to the needs of the world, and prayer wakes us up to the nature of God. And in so doing, prayer shapes the way in which we live and behave. So let's start by picking apart the parable, because it is quite puzzling. We're told that a traveler on a journey calls on a friend at midnight seeking hospitality. As the friend has no bread, the friend knocks on the neighbor's door to ask for 3 loaves of bread to serve to the guest. We're told that the neighbor is unwilling to get up because his family are all in bed asleep. But because of the friend's shameless audacity, he would eventually relent to the request. You can see how that it's easy to think, well, it's about being persistent in prayer. Now, in our culture, that interpretation makes sense, because in our culture, if you are someone who is British and you grew up in this country, you don't knock on your neighbor's door at midnight. That is not what we do. We say, "I'm perfectly fine, thank you. I don't need any help." But in the Middle East, the culture was different. And that means that there are some peculiar elements to this story. If a traveller arrived needing food and shelter, you were socially obliged to provide it, whatever time of day or night it was. So actually, both the friend and the next door neighbour would have been aware of that custom and that obligation. On that basis, it wouldn't have been audacious for the friend to ask to borrow some bread. Actually, it would have been totally reasonable and normal. Likewise, the response of the neighbour is odd because, according to custom, the neighbour wouldn't have resisted the request. The neighbour would have responded to the request because that is what you did in that culture. The other odd thing about the story is the bread itself. People tended to bake just enough bread for the day because bread only tended to last a day. If it lasted longer, in effect, it would go to waste. It's also why people would bake bread at the beginning of every day. And of course, immediately before these verses, Jesus teaches his disciples the Lord's Prayer, in which he says, "Give us each day our daily bread." So bread was a daily practice. So the notion of a neighbour who reaches the end of a day with three loaves to spare is actually quite weird, because you wouldn't have over-catered in that way such that you'd be confident your neighbour would have three loaves of spare bread. So I think that as the disciples listened to this parable, they were probably processing the story like this. Yeah, but hang on a minute, Jesus. It isn't audacious to ask your neighbour to provide for your friend's needs. And actually, hang on, Jesus, the neighbour wouldn't stay in bed. They'd get up straight away, even if it meant waking their whole family. And actually, hang on, Jesus, the neighbour wouldn't have had any spare bread. We all use up the bread that we have at the end of each day. So if you think about it in that way, you then think about what Jesus is saying on prayer. I think it sounds more like this. It is right to bring the needs of others to God. God is actually ready and willing to respond to those requests for help. And God is able to respond to those requests because his resources are limited and his bread never runs out. If you read this parable through the lens of a 21st century Westerner, then God is portrayed as a weary neighbor who can't be bothered to get out of bed to help unless you knock on his door long enough and loud enough. And actually, that is not a particularly attractive image of God when you really think about it. If we say this is about persistence in prayer, we're saying God can't be bothered to get up. But if you read this parable through Middle Eastern eyes, prayer works because God is willing and able to respond to human need. God wants to help. That's what God expects to do. And actually, that then encourages us to come to God, not just with our own needs, but with the needs of others. We knock on God's door because we know he'll answer. So who's being woken up here? Is this about waking God for God to act? Or is this actually about us as disciples waking up to how and when and for whom we should be praying? Now, when I was trying to figure out this parable, because when you've had that interpretation from childhood, oh, it's about persistence in prayer, I really had to mull it over. So I drew a picture of the three actors in the stories to work out the dynamics. If anyone's a therapist, it was like sort of drama triangle kind of situation. But I noticed we've got the traveller, we've got the friend, and we've got the neighbour. So the traveller comes to the friend in need, the friend then goes to the neighbour with that need, and the neighbour provides what the traveller needs. So we've got this fantastic sort of interaction going on. Now, apparently in the early 60s, Martin Luther King preached on this passage. I think the sermon was called The Knock at Midnight. And I read the sermon and a couple of things stood out to me that I found helpful, what I might call an interpretive key to help me sort of unlock it. This is what he wrote. "It is midnight in the parable. It is also midnight in our world. And the darkness is so deep that we can hardly see which way to turn. As in the parable, so in our world today, the deep darkness of midnight is interrupted by the sound of a knock. On the door of the church, millions of people knock." What a great phrase. What's Jesus teaching about prayer here? I think if you think about that interaction between traveler, friend, and neighbor, we recognize that actually we are surrounded by a world of need. Even if the world, that need is not directly knocking on the church's door, we know that there is need. And actually, We respond to the needs of the world by taking those needs to God, confident in God's nature, confident that God is willing and able to act. And of course, the more that we take the cares of others the more that they become our cares. As we really take on the things that other people worry about, it shapes our priorities, our decision-making, and our behavior. So for me, this story is actually about a wake-up call to us. What an extraordinary gift and responsibility we have as the church, bearing the needs of God, of the world, to God. We are the body of Christ. So we take what we see to God and ask for help. And this for me is where boldness comes in as well, because actually we can be bold in approaching God because we believe that God is good. We believe that God listens and acts and is alert and wants to help. And also we can be bold in offering to pray for others, in hearing their needs and their knocks at the door, and in taking those things to God. A few months ago, I bumped into somebody I know in the street and I said, "Hey, Sarah, great to see you. How are you?" And she burst into tears. It's the impact I have on people. But actually, it transpires that she and her family were in the process, a family of six, so a big family, were in the process of moving out of the house that they were renting. They were trying to buy a house, but it looked like their house sale was going to fall through. The problem was that the rental property they were in, they had to move out in 5 days' time. There was no possibility of the contract being extended because the landlord had sold the property. And so in effect, within 5 days, she was going to have to find somewhere to put all of their belongings and somewhere to put her four precious children. Without thinking twice, I just said, "Right, let me pray for you now." And I ignored COVID protocol. I put my arms around her and I prayed a really bold prayer. I just said, "Lord, would you resolve this situation in 24 hours? Maybe said a couple of other things. Amen." We parted and went our separate ways. And I can't lie, I literally walked off and just thought, why on earth did I just do that? Oh my goodness. And because then you just thought, what if it all falls through? And then what will she think of God that I have prayed that and then God seemingly doesn't act? And what will she think of me? And actually, who on earth do I think I am? God, you've got 24 hours in which to act. Sort it out. Now, it doesn't always happen like this. And my goodness, I wish it did. But later that night, the estate agent called and 36 hours later, the contracts were exchanged. I note that God overran the 24-hour deadline that I gave him, which is shameless audacity, I think. Not everyone feels comfortable praying in the street. We're not all made like that. And I recognize that I am a direct person and I recognize I'm confident. But actually every week in church, in our intercessions, we read out a list of names of people that we're praying for. And also I know that we all sit here and we also think of others in our hearts and minds that maybe we can't say out loud for a whole range of reasons. But I think we have this amazing gift and responsibility of as a church to be praying for the needs of our world, both individuals within our world and our community, and both the bigger issues. And I think there's something fantastic about saying to people, we will pray for you, even if we don't know who you are. We don't need to know what the situation is, but we recognize that you're knocking at our door. So we will bear those needs and we will take them to God and we will ask God to act. I wonder who are the travellers that are knocking at your door at the moment? Whose needs are you aware of or you are sensitive to? And maybe if you do know someone who's in need, you might not want to stop in the street and say, "Let me pray for you now." But you might feel able to say, "If you like, we could put you on our prayer list at church and we'd just pray for you, just your first name. Is that something you'd like?" I think prayer is this wake-up call. It wakes us up to the needs of the world. It makes us sensitive to the travellers passing by our door who might need something or long for something from God. And it wakes us up to the nature of God, because God is not asleep. God is alert and expects to respond. The other point that Martin Luther King Jr. makes in his sermon is that when the church bears the needs of the world to God, we also become motivated to bear the needs of the world to those in authority in our world. in effect, we don't just start saying, Lord, look at the needs over here. We start perhaps to say to those in government or those in charge of business, look at the needs over here. Let me read you what he said, who preached. If the church does not recapture its prophetic zeal, it will become an irrelevant social club without moral or spiritual authority. If the church does not actively participate in the struggle for peace and for economic and racial justice, it will forfeit the loyalty of millions and cause men, his word everywhere, to say that it has atrophied its will. But if the church will free itself from the shackles of a deadening status quo and recovering its great historic mission, will speak and act fearlessly and insistently in terms of justice and peace, then men far and near will know the church as a great fellowship of love that provides light and bread for lonely travellers at night. Who are the travellers who are knocking at your door? And who are the travellers that are knocking at the door of the church? Let's wake up to them, because we can bear their needs and their cares to God in Christ. And God is ready. Amen.